KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelei Kinnean, and it's 9:02. Runway 1028 at the Nome Airport is now open after an emergency closure to repair a large dip in the runway. The dip was a safety concern. The Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities opened the runway yesterday afternoon after completing necessary repairs. Unstable soils caused the reoccurring dip in the runway, requiring repairs approximately every 5 years. Twin Peaks Construction was contracted to make the repairs, which for the first time included dynamic compaction of the soil, simply dropping a heavy weight onto the soil to compact it. The delayed arrival of a crane and poor weather delayed completion of the project, scheduled for October 1st. Bill O'Halloran, DOT Northern Region Director of Maintenance and Operations, said recognizing the significance of the closure, crews worked strategically around poor weather to ensure the runway was open before winter. He said they are optimistic this repair will mean they won't have to return as often to fix the runway. Anchorage police say a body was found yesterday in a wooded area, the second such discovery this week. Lieutenant Dave Parker says the latest body was found next to a fence that encloses the old Park Lane's bowling alley, now a storage facility, just off the Glen Highway in the Mountain View neighborhood. A group of adults walking through the area found the body. The age and race of the female have not yet been determined. Police yesterday also released the identity of the body found a day earlier in a wooded area of Midtown Anchorage as those of 24-year-old Michelle Felber. Her family reported her missing Monday, even though they had not had contact with her for at least 2 months. Parker says the two discoveries do not appear to be related. The Alaska Miners Association held a meeting with miners in Nome yesterday afternoon. Deantha Crockett, executive director of the AMA, said that as an agency that advocates for miners and the mining industry, she found it important to hear directly from miners in Nome. Roughly 60 people attended the meeting. Crockett says it's their hope that in understanding issues miners have in the area, the AMA is better able to work with the regulatory agencies miners have to get their permits through.
Whatever we can do to make their operations easier while still, you know, protecting the actual intent of the permit, we want to do everything to make that better so that the mining industry appears better.
None of the regulatory agencies were invited to the meeting. Crockett says there was good reason for that.
It would be a lot easier for all of these miners in the room today to be more forthcoming with their thoughts if the people that they're not having to go and ask for permits for later are hearing them. I think they can be more upfront and more comfortable with talking about the issues they're having, knowing that there's only mining interests in the room.
Crockett did communicate with the regulatory agencies that the meeting was taking place. She said a big issue that came up was the fact that the regulatory agencies are simply reacting to the increased activity in Nome.
So they're having to make up regulations as they go. It's foreign territory for all of us. And so these guys, the miners in the room here, are really struggling with new regulations halfway through the season.
For example, Crockett says 3 weeks before the start of the season, miners were informed that they were not allowed to mine within a half mile of the mouths of rivers.
I don't want to make an accusation that the agency did that on purpose. I think right now we're in a position of having to learn from, we're having to make decisions and learn from them and change, and we're just going to have to be flexible moving forward. But that's why this conversation is so important, so that we get this information from the miners and give it back to the agency.
The Alaska Miners Association also used the time yesterday to sign up new members. And this week, every phone, TV, computer, and ATM that relies on GCI for service will lose connection for a few minutes each day. The reason? The sun. Gary Samuelson, the systems manager at GCI for Nome and Kotzebue, explains that each spring and fall, as the sun travels an arc across the sky, it lines up with the GCI satellite for a few minutes each day and overwhelms the satellite signal.
The satellite signal is a very weak signal compared to that sun. Sun is just an enormous ball of energy. And when it lines up looking directly into our satellite dishes or antennas, it just overpowers that weak, much weaker satellite signal.
During the brief moments that the sun shines directly into the satellite, cable and internet long distance and data simply won't work.
That ATM machine will lose its internet connection, and your transaction will not go through. If you're on the telephone talking long distance, you might start to hear a little garbled noise or some glitches, and all of a sudden your connection will be gone. It'll just be dead air. Now with cable TV services, it's a little different. You'll start to see some pixeling and freeze framing of the picture, and then it'll just go totally off.
The signal interruptions last for 2 to 10 minutes for 7 days each in March and October. Samuelson says sun outages affect every satellite worldwide, but the impact on telecommunications and video service varies.
Here in Nome, since we rely 100% on satellites for video and telecommunication services, we are more affected than Anchorage, where they are directly connected to the worldwide fiber network, which is not affected by sun outages.
Samuelson says as of yet, there's no technological breakthrough that can eliminate the problem. The sun outage period is expected to last until this Sunday, October 14. And the American Civil Liberties Union was in Nome this week to identify civil rights issues happening in Western Alaska. Jeffrey Mittman, executive director of the ACLU of Alaska, met with various schools, nonprofits, and government agencies during his visit, listening to local civil rights concerns from community members. He also shared some current Alaska Native issues being addressed by the ACLU. Mittman also identified language barriers as problematic, potentially impacting voting rights of Alaska Natives as well as rights during civil or criminal court proceedings. He emphasized the importance of properly distributed resources around the state to support Western Alaska communities.
There's a wide variety of things we know that, you know, living in a village, living in a rural hub is going to be different than living in Anchorage or Juneau or Fairbanks. And we want to make sure that state government and the rules and systems in place recognize that difference and ensure that everyone's treated fairly.
Mittman says that the ACLU's role is not only litigation, but also public advocacy to inform citizens about their rights. He says the organization does not speak for the community, but listens and defends community interests. A look at the price of gold this morning, down $6.30 an ounce to $1,761.90. An ounce of silver's at $33.77, down 33 cents from yesterday. It's currently 9:30 after 9 o'clock.